Hello and welcome to the Neo Gamer podcast for the 34th episode. We're taping this due to some technical difficulties. I'm John Callahan. Once again, we're joined by our Larry and Tim in their respective locations. How are you guys doing today?
Good, John. How about you?
I'm doing all right.
I'm doing all right. Larry, we've been on hiatus for the past several weeks. And part of the reason that you got pretty hammered thanks to Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, I was out of power for 10 days total. It was definitely not a lot of fun, but I'm finally back up and running.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was an experience, I will put it that way. What's that?
10 days. I can't imagine being out of power for 10 days. I mean, several years ago, we had a horrible ice storm here, and we were out of power for 24 hours, and that was bad enough. So,
it really puts things in perspective. I'll say that, you know, you're never prepared for something like that. Yeah. I didn't have a generator or anything like that, so I really was kind of just winging it. It was definitely a crazy experience. One that I hope not to go through anytime soon.
How is that whole area? Is it starting to slowly kind of get back to normal a little bit over there?
Yeah, luckily I'm in the part of New Jersey that we didn't get hit as far as devastation. We lost power and stuff like that. There was, don't get me wrong, some pretty big trees fell down, ruined some houses and stuff like that. But I'm not in the part of New Jersey that you see on the news that was really hit hard. That's about 30 miles south of me. So luckily we were able to avoid all that. That's going to be years until they're back up and running. Literally years. I mean, they're saying in some cases it's worse than Katrina, and I believe it. So
It sounded like you were very lucky, even though you were out of power for 10 days. It sounded like it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, exactly. Things could have been much worse. So at the end of the day, I'm grateful that all it was power.
Yeah, definitely. Well, on to more fun news. We've been on hiatus, as I mentioned, for the past several weeks. And since that time, there's been a bunch of games coming out, including the new Wii U console, which Larry was one of the 400,000 people who supposedly picked one up last week. This is basically the big gaming release of the 2012 in terms of hardware. So tell us about it.
All right, where do I begin? Let me say that. My overall initial impression is very, very positive. It's much, much, much better than I thought it was going to be. So where do I begin? It took me upwards of an hour to set up, believe it or not, because I was not prepared for the fact that you need a total different power supply for the gamepad itself. So that was kind of odd to me, but I guess it made sense after I saw it all. And taking a step back, I have to say, I had not touched the, you know, I even though I pre-ordered it, I had not played it anywhere prior to receiving my copy, or should I say my hardware. So it literally, when I opened the box, that was literally the first time I was seeing it. So I have to say, I was really kind of shocked by the size of the gamepad. I expected it to be big, but not as big as it actually is. But it's also incredible.
I know for a fact that it's big.
Yeah, I was really shocked by how big it is. But at the same time, it's incredibly light. And so it took me about an hour to set things up because I had to rearrange some stuff and make room on my. I now have three power strips that I'm using for my entertainment center instead of two. so it took some time to set up, more time than I thought, but setup was a breeze. I like the fact that they included an HDMI cable with it, which the other consoles, I think maybe the 360 does now, but I know initially,
it does.
You know, yeah.
It does now. It did not in the first version.
Yeah, so that was a nice touch. And, yeah, I have to say that, you know, I'm really quite impressed with it. I have to, Zombie U to me is pretty much as close to the perfect launch title that you could probably get. I'm loving it. I cannot stress how I think it is such a great game, and I really, I truly think that the people that are reviewing it negatively don't get what the game itself is about. That they're expecting, I don't know what they're expecting. Maybe, you know, a more action-oriented Call of Duty type game, but Zombie U is truly a survival horror game in every sense of the word. It's brutally hard. You die a lot, and you die often, and you have to, you cannot just be gung-ho about things. It really takes planning and strategy. The whole use of the gamepad, I'm going on record now and stating that Zombie U will be the game that people will constantly refer to as the right way to use the gamepad. I really don't think that you could get much better use of the gamepad than what Zombie U has done with it. There's one tiny little corny aspect of gameplay that they've implemented, and that's when there's boards on doors. You have to tap it, which is just such a stupid gameplay mechanic to tap things. I mean, come on, you know? But other than that, the gamepad itself, as far as how it works with the game, the implementation is pretty much flawless in my opinion. And not only that, it truly does enhance the gameplay experience. You couldn't play this game without it. I know that we are speculating, you know, that they were possibly thinking about releasing on other consoles, that it might come to the 360 or, you know, the next Sony or whatever, the next PlayStation. But after playing it, I don't know if that will be possible, because the gamepad really is such an integral part of the game. Just the way they use it with the map, it serves as an environment scanner, so you actually hold it up and, you know, your character holds it up. And then obviously the inventory management, which really, the inventory management alone is brilliant the way it works, because you really, if you're reaching into your game, into your actual backpack in the game, you better make sure that there's no zombies around. So the atmosphere that it creates really is truly tense. I have to say, I played the game now for about 5 hours, and that includes, I actually restarted. I was about 2 hours in, and I decided to start over because I realized some things in my first 2 hours of playing that I probably should have did that I didn't do, so I wanted to actually start over to do it right, which, I mean, right there should speak volumes about what I think about the game. Usually I just keep going, but I thought it was worth the time to scratch the first 2 hours I put in to start over to play it right. So that alone kind of says how much I really enjoy it, and I just can't speak more highly of the game. It's like I said, it's truly survival horror. I've read some of the criticism online about the combat. The combat is purposely the way it is. It is clunky to a certain degree, and that's because you're just kind of average citizens thrown into, you know, a zombie apocalypse, so to speak. So you're not an overpowered hero. You your fighting is kind of awkward, and bullets are, I mean, I think the most bullets I've had at any one time has been 24 bullets. That's what I currently have in my inventory. The whole mechanic about if you die, you drop your backpack and you need to go back and retrieve it, that's just a brilliant little touch that adds to things. I mean, it really is a thinking man's game. That's the best way I could put it. Like, you cannot, you really have to think about how you approach it. I know a lot of the positive reviews I read, I have likened it to like Demon Souls, which I haven't played, but I do know a decent amount about. And, you know, I'm just terribly impressed with it. And I don't want to say that this game alone is worth the purchase of a Wii U, because I don't think any game is worth just, you know, purchasing just
one game. Yeah.
Right. But with that said, the new Mario Brothers is absolutely amazing as well, and just the fact that I could play it fully on the gamepad. And just back to the gamepad real quick, I mean, the tech really is damn impressive. Like, you know, the iPad does it now if you have an Apple TV. You know, the Microsoft Surface tablets are doing it now, but it is without a doubt still the best implementation I've seen of a tablet device switching screens with a, you know, a TV or a monitor, what have you. And it's pretty much instantaneous. I'm not even kidding when I say, like, the first time I did it, I just sat there for like 3 minutes switching back and forth just to see if I could trip it up and maybe would, you know, take a second this time around. But it was instantaneous every single time. The range is really good on it. I have to say, you know, I don't think that it's necessarily going to sway people away from a 360 or a PS4, but I think for those families that already own Wiis, I think it's going to be no doubt a worthy upgrade. And I do think there's going to be people like me who just like playing video games and, you know, are not going to look at it as their main console, but are going to want it because of the different capabilities that it possesses. And the sure. Last final thing I'll say about it really is the online aspect, the Miiverse. I really wasn't expecting much at all from it, and I have to say it's pretty damn ingenious what they've done. Miiverse is basically the easiest way I could explain it. It's like our forums on Neowin, but the communities are there's multiple communities that are either dedicated to games themselves or just, you know, the Wii U general or whatever it may be. There's communities, and it, you know, you just pop into a community and you make a post, and it's similar to Twitter where you only have 160 characters and people can respond and they could like it, but I think that's they call it "oh yeah" instead of "like it". And I mean, just the community in Zombie U alone in Miiverse, it's been one of the great things is you could be playing your game, take a screenshot, pause it, open up Miiverse, post your screenshot, and put writing or text or whatever you want to do, at, like, all while the game is completely still running in the background. So I've literally been in the Zombie U Miiverse, you know, just talking with other people about what a great game it was, and someone will pop in with a screenshot. Hey, I'm in this section. Where do I get the lockpick for this door? And within, like, 10 seconds, someone will say, oh, it's here. Like, it's really a pretty simple idea, but it seems like the implementation of it so far, it seems to be working out really, really well. And I was shocked because I didn't know anything about it, really. So I didn't know what to expect. And seeing it in action, I have to say, you know, a lot of the criticism, once again, was it seemed like, you know, Nintendo's online offering was half-baked and, there, you know, people weren't really that thinking that it was going to be that good. But I have to say, for a launch, it's probably, you know, it's not Xbox Live, obviously, but it's definitely way more mature than the PSN was when the PlayStation 3 launched, you know. So I have to say, I'm pleasantly surprised with how much I'm enjoying the Wii U. I knew I would like it just because it's Nintendo, and I've always been a huge Super Mario fan and all that, but it's actually greatly exceeded my expectations. I'm really, really enjoying it. And, you know, I'm fully prepared for the fact that once the initial, you know, love affair wears off, I'll probably go back to my PS3 or my 360, and you know, I'll then just play the Wii U whenever, you know, there's obviously going to be a new Mario Kart, a new Donkey Kong, a new Zelda. So, you know, I'm prepared for the fact that it's not never going to be my go-to console. But with that said, I'm not dismissing the possibility that it could potentially be my go-to console if more developers actually do develop the games along the lines like what Ubisoft did with Zombie U. Because I really do think it's a new level of gaming. It's not necessarily, you know, the next level, but I think it's a new level. So, yeah, I'm really overall incredibly pleasantly surprised with it. That's the best I could say.
Cool. Now, have you tried any of the streaming video features, like the YouTube and Hulu and the Netflix and stuff like that?
Yeah, I signed up for Netflix instantly. I do the Netflix streaming, so I set that up. I set that up before I even did games. It worked right away. That's awesome too. I mean, you know, the whole Netflix works just like Super Mario Brother. You could switch screens, so you could either put on the TV or the gamepad. So yeah, that was great. YouTube, as soon as I launched it, asked me if I had a, you know, YouTube account, which I do. It's my Google account. I just hooked that up. Boom, my channels were all there instantly. That worked flawless. I mean, the only thing I really can't comment on is the whole TU or whatever they're calling it, TVU.
That hasn't come out yet. Yeah.
Yeah, right. That doesn't, I think they said December that I'll be launching. So I'm actually really curious to see that. I did hook up right away. The gamepad lets you, it's basically also a universal remote for your TV and, you know, cable set-top box. I hooked that up instantly. That worked right away. That was pretty painless. You know, you basically just choose your manufacturer for your TV and your cable box, and it pretty much auto-detected it and set it up on its own from there. So, yeah, I have to say, like, as far as the other features, like the video and stuff, I was up and running with them within, like, 10 minutes on all of them. And just the fact that I now have another device that I could hold in my hand and watch Netflix in is pretty cool. And
yeah,
the Netflix interface itself seemed pretty, you know, catered to the Wii U. And, yeah, that aspect of it was pretty cool, too.
And, did it have a web browser? Does it have a web browser? I seem to remember thinking it had.
Yeah, it does, and I only checked that out briefly. I didn't get too much time with the web browser, to be honest. But I did see someone comment in Miiverse how cool it was that they could have the web browser open as they were playing a game, so they could refer to a strategy guide online. So,
oh yeah, so like Steam in that way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a pretty cool feature too, if people want to implement, you know, use it. So. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, I've seen some very positive reviews, like, you know, myself, and I've seen some fairly negative ones. I think it's going to be one of those things where people either love it or hate it for quite some time. But, you know, I think it's eventually going to grow on people. I honestly think this time around, word of mouth is going to be its strongest, you know, it's just to see. What I thought was real interesting was the communities in the Miiverse that I was referring to before. The most active one was actually the Zombie U one. And most of the discussion being had is, how are people, you know, giving this a negative review? How are people saying this is a bad game? It's such a good game. And, you know, it really was. I didn't see one person, literally, and I don't know why. I guess I was kind of fascinated with the whole concept of this Miiverse thing. And my wife was watching TV, so I just had my gamepad open, and I was in the Zombie U Miiverse for a couple hours. And I really just was curious to see how people were interacting and what they were doing. And like I said, they were taking screenshots, you know, just talking about different areas of the game. One person, you know, I'm stuck, what do I need to do? And I was actually very impressed by, I didn't see a single immature comment, which, you know, in an online gaming community, we've talked about this multiple times already on our podcast. You know, that's pretty rare. I don't know if they're somehow filtering it or whatever. They have a built-in spoiler thing right in, you know, right when you post, you could put a spoiler tag. They thought of that as well, so I have to say, the whole Miiverse thing, it seems like they've really put some thought into it, and it was a nice little surprise, because I didn't even know it existed until I hooked up the console, to be honest. So, yeah, and any other questions I could possibly answer, feel free to ask.
Did you? I'm assuming you got the $2.99 version, not the $3.49 version.
No, I got the $3.49. I got the deluxe.
Yeah, so you played Nintendo Land. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I have not checked out Nintendo Land yet.
Okay. I thought if it was included in the game, I thought that'd be the first thing you try out.
No, I have it. I haven't even put it in. I've been so busy with Zombie U and Super Mario.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, fair enough.
What do you think now? Did you have you tried any of the downloadable games that are available from the for the console? They're just the downloadable only games.
Not yet. I've checked them out. I'm contemplating the one. Oh, I forget the name of it. It's a bird.
Trip?
You fly around. I've played that on the PC already. So I won't be checking that out because I've played both 1 and 2 of Trin. You're literally an eagle, and it has like a pretty graphic art style to it. I think it was like $15, and I was just kind of waiting to get some. I was actually waiting to pop into Miiverse and get some feedback. But other than that, it was a lot of, you know, there was nothing that really jumped out at me yet there.
Yeah.
You know, people do have they were selling the new Super Mario Brothers as a download, but as I'm sure you guys saw, if you own a basic console, good luck trying to download anything, really. I mean, that's now, you know, I always do point out the negative, and I do without a doubt think Nintendo made a huge mistake in that department. It truly, to me, I can't sugarcoat this. I almost feel like they're ripping people off, because for the $50 difference, like, to me, it's a no-brainer that you would get the deluxe. You get more hard drive space. You get a $60 game. You get you get a charging stand for the gamepad. You get another stand. I mean, it's just a no-brainer when you look at it. And, you know, I guess maybe there's going to be some people out there where that $50 really makes a difference. So, you know, they could only get the basic. But it just seems like Nintendo taking advantage of people not knowing enough about things, you know. Because there are plenty. I think the Wii owners out there are probably the least technically savvy console owners out of, you know, 360 and PS3 owners. You know, that's the bottom line. They're not the most tech savvy people, and so it almost seems like Nintendo taking advantage of people to me, because I think by the time, you know, the OS is installed and all that on the basic, I think they said you have something like 3.6 gigabytes worth of actual space, and Super Mario Brothers alone is 2.9. So, like, I mean, that the space is going to get eaten up. Now, granted, you can put an external USB drive, but now they're saying, you know, depending on the, if it's an external USB drive that's powered by USB, you actually have to pick up a Y adapter for it. So I'm assuming that's $20 or $30. So, I mean, by the time you went out and did that and hooked up an external drive, you've already purchased the deluxe, you know? And again, it comes with a free $60 game right there. You're saving $10 if you get a deluxe. Yeah. And that's not even including the bigger hard drive and all that. So I just don't know necessarily what they were thinking there. And I do think it's unfair to the consumer at the end of the day.
I agree.
But I think it's one of those. I think it's one of those things where they've sort of gone, how can we market this? And they've gone, well, we can make a $300 console and say, you know, you can get the Wii U starting at $299, and then people be like, oh, that's not bad for a new console. But then they realize that to actually get the console that they want you to buy, which is the deluxe or premium one, that you then have to spend the $350, which is, I think really that they're expecting most people to buy that deluxe version over the basic one, just because it's, like you said, it's much better value to get that than the basic. So I just think it's all marketing. For the basic one.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You're probably right.
They did it with the that Nexus 4 phone from Google as well. Like, you could get an 8 gigabyte phone for starting at $299, I think. But then to get the 16 gig one, the one that actually has enough space, you have to spend more money, and that's the one that they really want you to buy. But they have a cheaper one just to sell it. So I think maybe even Microsoft will do something like that, having, you know, a very cheap entry-level console for the next Xbox, and then having a premium one that doesn't cost all that much more, but that's the one that they really want you to buy because it's so much better value. And they'll probably do some storage thing like with the Wii U. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think you're probably hitting it right on the head. You know, it all does come down to marketing at the end of the day. It's just, you know, I think... I think Nintendo's always kind of prided itself on being the family-friendly console and all that, and that's about as unfamily-friendly as you could get, in my opinion. You should have just kept it simple, made it easy for people to know which one to get. But, you know, and the thing is, you could use the basic, and, you know, it will serve people just right. It's just, if you do want to start downloading titles, and, you know, in all fairness, like I said, the Wii U crowd is not the most tech-savvy crowd, so a decent amount of them might not ever download games. The disc-based version might be enough, so, you know, I guess maybe it will serve its purpose for some people, but the deluxe is obviously the way to go, so, but yeah, marketing rules all, as you pointed out, Tim, so.
Yeah, but also, if you're not in the United States, the deluxe console is not exactly the cheapest. I mean, here it's $430. And in New Zealand isn't that much worse with their exchange rate than us. They're charging 570 New Zealand dollars for it.
Like,
wow.
That's insane. There's no way that is a fair conversion to the US dollar. And
no,
£300 and 280 euros is not a fair conversion either. So these people, I think maybe in some of these territories, especially mine, that it almost makes the basic one sort of, you know, the one that most people would be getting if it costs like that much more. But
yeah, wow. I did not realize that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's literally crazy.
Like, I don't understand how it costs more. 329 euros for the basic model is more than 299 US dollars, even though the euro is worth more. So that's surprising.
Yeah. Okay, that's a fair point, too.
We always get a raw deal, though, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, but the euro bottles would include tax, whereas the US doesn't, does it? You have to pay tax after.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that could be something in it there.
Yeah,
still, though, that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's like it's not unknown for you, Tim, to have to be ripped off like that.
Yeah, I mean, we only have 10% sales tax here, so even so,
wow.
That would make the $299 console just under $330 with the
sure.
tax. So, yeah, they're still ripping you off.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Well, so Larry, now in terms of visuals of the games that you've played, there's been a lot of talk about how the Wii U just doesn't really, it's about as good as an Xbox 360 or PS3 game in terms of graphics and visuals. In your opinion, having played some of the games on the console, when and if Microsoft and Sony come out with their new consoles, probably sometime next year maybe, you know, is it going to be, are just all the hardcore guys going to go, oh, well, this makes the Wii U look horrible?
Yeah. I mean, the graphics don't look any better than a 360 or PS3 right now. That's without a doubt the case. I mean, Zombie U looks decent, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't look any better than any of the best looking games on a 360 or PS3 right now. So, you know, I don't necessarily know what they were thinking there. I mean, I guess the argument would be that it's Nintendo and gameplay is more important. But they are definitely going to lose a pretty significant market just based on the fact that the graphics are not going to compete with those next consoles. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, and I laughed when the developer of Metro Last Light said that the CPU in the Wii U is horrible. Like,
yeah,
he actually said those exact words, like, the CPU, it sucks. I just thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw that comment. That was kind of funny. Oh, good.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that the graphics, they're on the level of a PS3 and a 360. I don't think they're worse than either, but they're definitely not better either.
Yeah, I heard some problems with ported games from the Xbox 360, stuff like Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect 3, that in scenes that involved like a lot of non-player characters in there, that the Wii U had trouble like rendering those scenes compared to the Xbox 360. I think it was something to do with they're putting in a fairly decent like graphics unit in there, but they skimped a little bit on the processor or something. So
yeah, I've heard the same thing.
I've heard things like with Assassin's Creed 3 in particular, that the scenes with a lot of people in it just don't render as well as the already established consoles. But I assume that in the future, when developers get more used to coding to the system, that things like that won't be a problem anymore.
Yeah, I think you kind of lean towards that as well. That, you know, they are, at the end of the day, both games are pretty much ports. You know, I don't think either game was developed from the ground up with the Wii U in mind. So I think they're kind of going to have to deal with the same thing that the PlayStation dealt with for a while. You know, there's no doubt about it. Developing on the PlayStation initially was not the smoothest of experiences. And there was definitely some gameplay elements that for a while suffered on the PS3. And, you know, once developers figured it out, everything was pretty much smooth sailing. There's still one or two cases that you could point to in recent years where it's an issue. But, you know, I think it's exactly what you said, Tim, that developers will eventually figure it out, and it shouldn't be that big of an issue. But I do believe that once the next-gen consoles of both, you know, the Sony and Microsoft come out, that the visuals on the Wii U are just going to be looked at as almost a joke. But
is that going to be bad for Nintendo? Because you really like the console and you like a lot of the technical, you know, a lot of the features of the console and how, you know, they enhance gameplay, obviously with Zombie U. So is that going to be a problem for Nintendo? Is it just going to be? Are they just going to get hammered in the press and by gamers when these new consoles come out, if they really turn out to be graphically superior?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think there's going to be, I think you're going to have two schools of pretty two distinct school of thoughts. There's going to be people like myself who, you know, while I enjoy great graphics, it's why I spent money on a nice graphics card for my PC and all that. If I had to choose at the end of the day, I'm always going to choose gameplay. But that's just myself personally, and I think especially the younger generation, graphics are extremely important to them. So, yeah, there's without a doubt going to be, you know, people, and I don't want to just peg it on the younger generation. I think there's plenty of adults that care a whole lot about graphics too. So I think you're without a doubt going to get people that basically are going to want nothing to do with it once the new consoles come out, because it will be inferior graphic wise. But, you know, for someone like me who would rather choose gameplay, you know, all I need is a nice new Zelda game that looks like the Super Mario Brother game does now, and I'll be fine, you know, but that's me. So yeah, I think it's going to be something that, you know, I think in the long run, I think the Wii U is going to wind up being I don't want to say the Dreamcast.
That's what I was going to ask. Are we looking at a Dreamcast situation here?
Yeah, we might be. At the end, I think at the end of the day, we might be. It almost seems like, you know, I just think if Nintendo really, but you know, I'm sure it all came down to cost. And again, you know, just like Tim pointed out before, marketing is everything. And I'm sure if they really added a much beefier CPU and a much beefier graphics card, that it would probably added at least $100 to it. And at the end of the day, they were trying to keep the cost, you know, where Nintendo consoles usually fall to. So, you know, I think that's going to, without a doubt, come back to bite them eventually. I don't know if it's going to be immediately. You know, knowing Nintendo, if they're smart, they have some big, really big, you know, first party titles.
Yeah.
At least this is my prediction. They're going to hold whatever really big first party titles they have until the next consoles arrive from either Microsoft or Sony. And that's going to be, you know, that's going to be their kind of way to downplay whatever, you know, whenever those new consoles are released. Oh, you know, hey, they got their new console. Here's our new Zelda, or here's our new Mario Kart. And, you know, since realistically speaking, we're probably not going to see one of those new consoles until the end of next year. By that time, you figure they will know more development tricks and all that. So they very well might be able to get better visuals than they're getting now. The chances are they will. So, you know, I still think the visuals will hold up decently. And again, there's going to be those people where the visuals, as long as they're decent enough and the gameplay is awesome, that's going to be enough for them. But, you know, I've never thought that the Wii U was going to sway people away from the Xbox or 360. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that's realistic. I've never thought that. You know, luckily, I'm older. I have a decent career. That's why I could own all three consoles. I know I'm very fortunate to be in that position. I know a lot of people have to choose just one, and the Wii U is going to pretty much be the third choice for those people that need to choose just one. I would imagine the Wii U is probably going to always wind up being the third choice if, you know, things like graphics are important to them. So, you know, they're going to face an uphill struggle. I think they've gone into this whole Wii U definitely with a bit of cockiness, cuz technically speaking, they won last round. They did outsell both systems.
Sure they did. But the problem is that they won it partially because they had a great gimmick that anybody could pick up immediately and get it. You know, we mentioned this before. You know, the Wiimote is something that people got and figured out fast. And also, you know, the Wii was relatively cheap. It was $249 when it came out, and this is not that. And it came with a game with it. So they did everything right on that. They had a great gimmick that you could understand immediately. They had a cheap price. You got a free game. And you're getting really none of that with the Wii. You kind of have to explain why the Wii U is different and good, and you have to pay more, and you have to pay even more to get a free game.
Yeah, and not only that, the strange thing is, you know, the most appealing aspect of the Wii U, the gamepad, as much as I enjoy it, I could see it really, this might sound funny what I'm about to say, but it's absolutely how I envision things. I could see the gamepad causing havoc in a household of more than one kid. I mean, I'm a single adult gamer. That's why the gamepad is so awesome to me. If you have two kids in the household, they're going to be fighting over that one gamepad the entire time. And from my understanding, you can only have one gamepad set up. That's it. So, you know, they also kind of screwed that up too. And, you know, I was having a love affair with it, but as you guys know, I think enough from doing the podcast with me, I'll always point out the negative things. I have no problem doing that. And another huge mistake I think they've made with the Wii U, and maybe they could possibly remedy it with the firmware, you know, or whatever. But not making the gamepad dependent on the console itself, while, you know, it is really awesome to do the swap screen and all that stuff, they really should have made it so you could use it independently. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Because right now, I have to have my console on and be near my console to use it. I can't take it upstairs, for example. The range is not that good.
Yeah, so, but I think you're actually talking about a situation that can't possibly happen. I think that the Wii U gamepad is probably a shell. It's just a screen and a battery and maybe a couple of wireless things in there. And that most of the processing is actually done by the Wii U before it gets sent to the mm-hmm. gamepad. And I imagine that they've done that to keep it cheap, because you can't include an entire console and that same console in a gamepad in the price that you're paying. So I imagine that there is no way that you'll be able to use it untethered from the machine. And I guess that is a bit disappointing, but that's just something you have to be aware of when you buy the console.
Yeah, you know, but I think they could have had if they did that, then it could have possibly been a home run, because then you could have marketed it to families as, hey, not only is this your next console, it's also your next DS. You know, you now don't have to buy your kid a DS. This is it. So you're absolutely right, Tim. I never even thought about it from that perspective, but you're absolutely I know you're right, just based on the weight of it. Like I said, I was so shocked about how light it is. But now that you said what you did, it makes, you know, complete sense. And if I sat and thought about it for just a minute, you're absolutely right. It's barely anything in there. It's just being, you know, zapped wirelessly. So I think if they did that, you know, things could have also been wind up being dramatically different. But now,
I guess something that they could do is release like a standalone Wii U tablet thing that's basically the same thing as the controller, except it has all the guts in there. I'm not sure that there would be enough power that it could deliver from the battery, because I imagine that the Wii U console is fairly power consuming compared to your average everyday tablet. But you never know what they could do. Maybe they could work some magic and you could get a standalone tablet that you could buy.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I will say the battery life on the tablet, it is really pretty. It gets eaten up pretty damn quick. I thought it'd be a lot longer than it actually is. I think I had to start charging it after right around 3 hours of playing Zombie U.
Yeah, so, I've heard that, which is surprising.
That's
my tablet lasts around about 8 hours with you, so I don't know what they've obviously skimped on a battery in there somewhere, but
yeah, I mean what's really funny is the extra power supply that I mentioned earlier that you need for it, the wire for it is incredibly long, and in the manual they actually suggest keeping it plugged in while you're playing. they make it's like an important note in the quick setup guide. You know, I forget how they worded it, but it was more or less along the lines of, keep in mind you could keep this thing plugged in while you play it. So right there, that's basically saying, you know, the battery life is horrible. But I saw firsthand, I was actually out of nowhere, I'm playing Zombie U and I'm looking down in my inventory and I see a red flashing light at the bottom of the gamepad, and I was like, what the hell is this? Is this part of the game? And I brought up what is, you know, the equivalent of the dashboard on the gamepad, and where you could check the battery status, and it was blinking and almost gone. I was like, wow, that's kind of weak, you know. So
yeah.
it definitely has its downsides. I guess I'm just so in love with it because of Zombie U. Zombie U wound up being everything I thought it would be and more. Like it's actually a better game than I thought it would be. It's really It's classic survival horror in the lines of like old school Silent Hill and old school Resident Evil. Like, it's very slow and deliberate. I don't think I've fought more than 4 zombies at a time yet. Like, it's still that hard. Like, I know I'm going back to it and now I'm giving it more praise, but I had high hopes for it and it totally met my expectations. And the last thing I'll say about Zombie U is it's the first game since Assassin's Creed that I've actually went out and bought the strategy guide for.
Oh, wow.
I never buy strategy guides. I always, I pretty much pride myself for not ever using strategy guides and all that. But I want to know that, like, I want to know everything about the game that I can. And, you know, pretty much 95% of it comes down to the fact I don't have that much time to play anymore. You know, I wish I did, but I don't. And that's just the truth of the situation. So I thought about it, and I'm leaving out a little bit of it. I had some credit on Amazon specifically that I could put towards a book. I had $10 credit, and I could only use it for a book. It's a long story, but so the strategy guide is a book. It's considered a book. So it cost me $2 too. So
that's
one
nice.
Of the other reasons I got it. Yeah. I still don't have it yet either. It still hasn't arrived, but like that's how much I'm into the game. I was like, the strategy guide, and I don't plan on using it to get through the single player campaign. I really just plan on using it for the location of items, because I'm finding out now that items are pretty much everything in the game. And if you don't have a lot of them, the game is incredibly difficult. So I plan on just pretty much using it for item locations and knowing where good stuff is eventually. But I'm not even going to use it initially, though. I'm still going to see how far I could get without it. But like I said, it's completely exceeded my expectations. I want it to be a good game. And when I started reading some of the initial reviews before the Wii U came out, I was like, I was practically devastated. I was like, wow, this game is sounding awful. And then, like, you know, as soon as the Wii U came out, some good reviews started trickling in. And, you know, I think Kotaku, so far, I've made it a point to pretty much read every review on Zombie U just to, you know, now that I've played it. And I think Kotaku and Eurogamer, actually, have the best, most fair reviews of it. Because, you know, the game's not without flaws. There's some bugs in it, apparently. I luckily haven't hit any of them yet, but there's apparently, like, some people have been facing bugs that they've had to restart entirely. If that happens to me, I will go to hating the game pretty much instantly, because it's such a game that you got to put time into. But luckily, like I've said, I haven't seen it, and I know I'm actually past the part where a lot of people are reporting the one bug. And you know, there's some quirks to the game, but overall, like I said, it really does showcase the potential for the gamepad. And I think if more developers kind of use it as a reference, and I think it's interesting. I think the Kotaku review pointed out that, you know, it's interesting that Ubisoft made it, because it's basically like the biggest risk that they've taken since Assassin's Creed. Like, you know, even though they're known for, like, we've all talked about, we all like Ubi as a developer, and, you know, they have all of our respect, I believe. But pretty much they kind of do play it safe to a certain degree. Like, Assassin's Creed was their last IP, that original one, you know. Well, now, you know, with Sleeping Dogs or whatever that game's coming out, that's
yeah.
Their
Watch Dogs. Yeah.
Watch Dogs.
Sleeping Dogs
it.
Is Squeenix. You know, Square Enix.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, the one Kotaku review was talking about how Zombie U pretty much is Ubi's biggest risk that they've taken since Assassin's Creed, and that they thought it paid off for them because it is another unique world. And, you know, they were basically saying, just like Assassin's Creed, if you remember, Assassin's Creed was kind of rough around the edges too, the first one. So
yeah,
the Kotaku review was saying that they really hoped that this means that there's a Zombie U2 coming and all that. But
I'm sure there'll be a sequel at some point that sells.
Yeah, I guess, because 400,000 is 400,000 consoles sold on launch. That's fairly decent, right?
It's okay.
That's pretty good. I mean, it depends on how many, you know, Nintendo made. Obviously, you know, if they sold all that they made, then that's good.
right.
So I think
even though I did see the news that the Xbox in the same week sold 736,000 to outsell the Wii U launch.
750,000, yeah. You have to remember that, you know, for Black Friday, you know, they had a lot of discounted bundles and items that people were buying. You could buy, you know, I think Walmart had a $149 Xbox 360 bundle with Skylander Giants with an exclusive Skylander figurine in it, which is a pretty good deal. So, and I, you know, it's so they sold a lot, but they sold it. Let's just say a lot of people probably didn't buy full price for those consoles.
Yeah.
As much as the Wii, I mean, there were definitely no discounts for the Wii U.
Yeah, this is true. Well, let's move on from the Wii U. I feel like I've talked about it the entire time.
Oh, no, I love
it's good to get some insight.
I really love you about it. You clearly love the console, and you definitely love Zombie U. So, you know, the big question is that, you know, like you said, is Nintendo kind of holding back on some of their big franchises to blow us away when Sony and Microsoft make their move, or what are they going to do? So it's going to be interesting. Next few months.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll put it this way. I'm fully prepared for the fact that I might not touch my Wii U for a long time to come once I get over the initial. I know I have Rayman Legends coming, which you guys know my love for Rayman. I made no bones about it. The Wii U, part of me buying the Wii U was for the new Rayman game. So
right.
I'm definitely looking forward to that as well, but once I play those three games, I am, you know, I'm fully thinking to myself, what will I be playing after that? And is my Wii U just going to then become like my Wii and collect dust? There's no doubt the possibility that that's very much could be a reality. So, you know, I'll end it with that I am a realist and I'm enjoying it right now, but I do realize it could get relegated to a dust collector sooner rather than later. So I guess we'll see.
Yep. So we talked quite a bit about the Wii U, which I think deservedly so. Let's quickly kind of finish up our podcast and just talk quickly about the games that we've played. Tim, do you want to start up with, you said you play Hitman Absolution?
Yeah, I finished it just a couple of days ago, actually. I got it pretty much on launch. Now, I decided I'd never played a Hitman game before. I have a copy of Blood Money, but for some reason I didn't play that beforehand. And I decided for the first time going my first playthrough that I played on hard difficulty. I thought.
Why did you do that?
Well, there was the professional section and the other section of difficulties. And I thought, I'll try it on hard. I usually play games first playthrough on hard. This was a serious challenge. Now, I'm talking, you basically, with the game, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious that you have to go through each sort of area, and you can assassinate your various targets in a number of ways. You can go in full blast with your guns, you can do it stealth, you can find the objects in the game world to kill them with, or you can use your signature fiber wire and all this sort of stuff to kill it. But really, when you're playing on hard, you have to go really slowly and work on your strategy after many, many times getting caught or dying or stuff like this. I always made it a challenge for myself to get above the average game, the average world target score for each level. And when you're playing on hard, that's pretty hard in itself. So each time that I go into a game level, I would sort of work on my strategy each time, get a little bit closer to the target, think, okay, I've got to go into this area and kill this guy, hide the body, and then go through this little, like, I don't know, event, go through this event, and keep going through like this until I finally got the target. And it is a giant relief when you finish the level, but it was, and even though this, I'm talking like it took me hours for each level to get through. There's 20 levels in the game, and about 15 of those are full-blown giant world levels. And it's taken me hours per level to do these things, but it was such a relief. And even though it was so hard, I found it incredibly enjoyable to play just because of how hard it was and how much time you spend. It's just, I imagine that it's easier playing on normal, going through, you can do pretty much anything you want, but if I was going to recommend how to play it, I would actually recommend that you play it on hard just for the challenge. So that's my experience with Hitman.
Wow. Nice. Cool.
I am not going to lie, part of me wishes that you had played the other one so you could compare, because that's pretty much one of the biggest critiques I'm reading about it, is that it deviates so much from the originals that, you know, some people really dislike it and some people love it because it does. Because the originals, I think me and John have mentioned in the past, they were such hard games. I mean, what you're talking about now, that's very much tradition for the Hitman franchise. So, you know, I'm curious because I've read some scathing reviews about it. Like people were saying, it just wasn't the series anymore, blah, blah, blah. So,
but I guess that if you take it as a game by itself, and you think, even though it has a Hitman title, if you think about it as a game by itself, I think that a lot of people would find it more enjoyable than what they're making out, that, you know, it's not as good as the previous ones.
Yeah, and I think that's what not enough people do these days, especially when it is, you know, it seems like they're really trying to relaunch the franchise. I definitely plan on checking it out myself. I've always liked the Hitman games. They've always been, at the very least, they've always been incredibly challenging. You know,
they play really on hard.
Do. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gracious. I played Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the PC. Both the campaign. I haven't played online. I haven't played multiplayer, but I played the campaign, which was good-ish. It was just another Call of Duty game set in the future. You know, they made a big deal about how, you know, some of the levels, you know, you have multiple entries. You know, you could finish. It wasn't the total, roller coaster ride with one direction to go through, which was okay. But it just basically was just another intense, first person shooter in that genre, but set in the near future for the most part. So it was fun. I wouldn't necessarily say it was all terribly innovative. And then I played some of the zombie stuff, and I thought, well, this is just not as good as, you know, Left 4 Dead. That's just me. I'm sorry. I found it to be boring, to be honest.
Yeah. Look, I'm going to skip Call of Duty this time around. I'm done with it. I'm completely done with the series.
I have to say I completely disagree with John here, and I think it's by far the best Call of Duty. I think it's by far the best modern Call of Duty, I should say, since Modern Warfare. Let's put it that way.
I'm not saying it wasn't fun. I'm just simply saying it wasn't anything that I wasn't expecting. You know, I didn't have oh my gosh while I was playing it.
Yeah, no, that's all right. That's fair. I do think it's the best, but I do think it's the best one out of this modern Call of Duties. I do.
I it's very technically proficient. In terms of, you know, playing the game, the engine is definitely getting old, though. I will say. Playing on the PC, they're saying, "Oh, it has DirectX 11 effects and everything like that." Well, it may have a few better textures, visual effects, and stuff like that, but it's definitely running an old engine. We're not talking, you know, Crytek Engine 3 or anything like that, you know, and I'm sure that for the next generation consoles, we'll probably ditch that engine and get something to play.
I hope so.
You definitely feel like, you know, even though you're playing the game, you definitely feel like you're playing a level in a game and not necessarily in a big expansive world. Probably not as expansive as what Tim played in Hitman.
Yeah, no, Hitman, you do feel like you're in a world, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, one thing I forgot to say about it is it is by far the best 3D that I've seen on the consoles to date. I will say that. And what's funny is I didn't even know that it initially. Even though I've pretty much gone on the record on the podcast that the PS3 is my go-to console because I own two in my home, I did pick up Black Ops 2 for the 360 because the majority of my friends that's what they're playing it on. So I actually didn't even realize that the new version of Black Ops supported 3D until I saw some commercial on TV about the 3D. So then I picked up the back of the game box and I said, 3D, even on the 360, interesting. So that's when I fired it up. And the reason the 3D is so good is, you know, the whole insistence on making sure that it's always 60 frames per second. Basically, when you're doing 3D on the current gen consoles, you're getting at least half the performance, if not more. It does dip down to 30 frames per second, which is still acceptable by the eye. So that's why it's by far the best 3D I've seen on the consoles. And it actually was pretty stunning in some places. Like, one review I read said that it was basically the Avatar of 3D gaming, you know, meaning like Avatar was a pretty big deal in the 3D movie world. And they were saying they feel it's like comparable to Avatar as far as how good it is. And I kind of have to agree. The 3D was amazing. So for the four people out there like me who own a 3D TV, it's worth checking out.
I definitely can't comment on the 3D aspect, but I'll take your word for it. But as far as the zombie stuff, I just thought it was boring. I really did. Like I said, I feel like the Left 4 Dead games have a better take on the zombie genre in terms of the first-person shooter. I just felt like that this particular thing was, you know, it was boring. I really felt like it was just, ew. I felt like...
No, I...
I felt
I
like
agree
it was,
totally.
I mean, I felt I was crazy. You know, you have this kind of a campaign-ish type of thing where you're going through different levels in the town, but it felt so artificial and so everything. You know, and the zombies are slow and they're not really all that well designed. I'm just, you know, it makes me want to play Left 4 Dead again, to be honest. I just find that experience with the co-op and everything. I mean, obviously, you know, you can play zombies with up to four players as well. But I just feel like even if you had that human interaction, it would just not be, you know, as you know, going out, you know, four people and just playing, going through the levels in Left 4 Dead. So
yeah, no, I pretty much agree there with zombies. And my one buddy's going to get upset at me saying that because he really loves it. And he had finally talked me into checking out with him one day. And, you know, I got to agree. It was pretty boring. And I thought at first I was like, oh, because it was transit mode. Is that the mode you played where you're on the bus and all that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I thought, oh, maybe this could be cool. And, yeah, it just... I was losing interest after like 15 minutes. It was like, okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like some aspects of it. I like the whole, you know, points aspect of it where you shoot and collect points and you can get upgrades and stuff like that. But you know, honestly, I play a zombie shooter to shoot zombies, not to, you know, try to keep track of points so I can get upgrades, so I can clear areas and get more weapons and stuff like that. So I felt very tedious. So
yeah, what's funny to me is, like, I actually think the old zombie mode in the first Black Ops was better because it was simpler.
Yeah.
Like they've done too much, you know, like the whole getting on the bus and finding parts to create on the workbench, like without even explaining anything to people. Like,
right. You know, just thrown it there and says, yeah, good luck to you. Yeah. So I loved it when the zombie mode was in Call of Duty World at War with the Nazi zombies. I mean, that was a nice cool little bonus, you know, just one little level, and oh, this is awesome, you know, and it was great. And I think that Treyarch went, yo, people like this thing, maybe we should turn it into a real game, and they kind of just went off the rails with it. But that's just, again, that's just my opinion.
No, I agree. Like I said, I agree.
And I know I just want to quickly mention I played Need for Speed Most Wanted on PS3, and it's awesome. it's about as good as I thought it was going to be. Just driving around, you know, the city and you know, picking up, trying to get rid of the, you know, it's basically like they said, it's basically the sequel to Burnout Paradise, but it has cops that try to chase you, and that's kind of fun. And you
fantastic, fantastic game. I'm totally love it. I played it, most of it. I played, we mentioned Hurricane Sandy before, and that's the reason I couldn't do 2 weeks of the podcast. When I was able to go to my in-laws' house, who did have power, so the one thing I did was I downloaded Need for Speed Most Wanted on my PS Vita.
Oh.
Yeah, I had my copy from Amazon on its way, but it actually got delayed because of Hurricane Sandy. So even if I had it, I wouldn't have been able to play it. But my in-laws got power, you know, a couple days before we did. So I went over there with my PlayStation Vita and downloaded the Most Wanted version, the Vita version, and I loved it on the Vita. And I have to say, the Vita version and the PS and the console version, they're identical. It's just the Vita version, the world isn't as dynamic and there's not as many objects and the textures, but they're literally the same exact world, same exact events. It's the same exact game. And what's really cool is, you know, you sign it when you play, you sign into Origin, right? Because it's an EA game.
Right.
You sign.
Right.
And any experience I carry or any billboards that I smash through, they all carry, no, not the billboard, sorry, the experience. Any experience points I get on the Vita and or the PS3 go to one gamer tag. So I'm almost at a million experience points, and I'm not even halfway through the game on either console. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. No, I really enjoy it. There are a couple aspects I wish, like, I haven't played the Vita version, of course, but so I can't comment on it, but at least the PS3 version, you know, the menu selection, oh, it's hard to go through that. I don't know how you feel about that, Larry, but I felt like, yeah, it's very cumbersome to go through some of the menus and UI on that on the PS3 version sometimes.
With
takes forever to look.
With the D-pad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a while to load on those things. But that's a minor quibble. I mean, I can wade through a quick, you know, loading sequence of a menu in order to get to the gaming goodness. So it's not that bad, big of a deal. But it's a fun. And, you know, it's exactly what I expected. And that's, and, you know, there's tons of gameplay and just a lot of fun to play.
Yep. I agree.
Yep.
And just real quick, since I mentioned the Vita version of it, I just want to also mention PlayStation Plus finally came to the Vita, and it's awesome. It's given some life to a console that people are already proclaiming dead. Kotaku actually just had an article today, as a matter of fact, about how Sony, I think the article headline was the Vita and how Sony dropped the ball or something along those lines. Yeah. And I took the time to read it, and the article is pretty damn accurate, honestly. It went to talk about how, you know, with the Vita, all of the major games that could have actually been system sellers, like a Call of Duty, like the Uncharted, have all been really, really, you know, below par. The Assassin's Creed Liberation game, it's getting decent reviews. I think it's averaging a 7.3 on Metacritic. But, you know, that's not going to move any units. And so basically they're just talking about how Sony's really kind of dropped the ball, because it is a great, powerful device. But I have to say, just from someone who's owned it, and, you know, I was really getting a lot of out of it because of Most Wanted. But now that with the PlayStation Vita, I basically have... I mean, with the Plus being added, that's great. I've gotten to check out Mutant's Blobs or whatever. It's an awesome game. Jet Set Radio from the Dreamcast.
Oh, I love Jet. Yeah.
That's a full HD remake, basically. It's completely faithful. That was free on PlayStation Plus. I am going to be able to check out the Uncharted game now, which I never did. So... yeah, I mean, it's kind of a great deal. If you're already a Plus subscriber, which I was on the PS3, and you own a Vita, you're basically getting six really good games. The other ones are Wipeout, and the other, Gravity Rush, and one other game. But it's if you're not a PlayStation Plus subscriber and you own a Vita, to me, it's a no-brainer. Like, for the $50, do it. You get way more than $50 worth of games, and... some of the games are actually really good games. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay, cool. So, all right. Well, I guess that's all we... we certainly talked quite a lot today, a lot longer than we normally do. So, unless you guys have anything else you want to bring up today?
No, I think, we've covered a lot, so...
Yeah, we covered a lot. So, hopefully we can continue talking about... I mean, we could have talked a lot about other stuff. We could have, I mean,
yeah, we could have.
We there's all sorts of topics that we could have, discussed, quite frankly. But, we that's why we have another week we can do the podcast again, hopefully next week. So,
And a reminder, Far Cry 3 next week.
which is getting already pretty awesome reviews so far.
I'm pumped for it. That's my next game. Oh, actually, I got a copy of Assassin's Creed 3, but I think Far Cry 3 might jump up the priority list.
Yeah. Also, I want to quickly mention something that I kind of posted on the NeoGamer site, but that there will not be any multiplayer in Bioshock Infinite. Not necessarily missing it or not, but I'm sure some people who just have to have multiplayer in every single first-person shooter are disappointed to hear that, so... But anyway, we can talk about all sorts of other stuff next week. Like you said, Far Cry 3 is coming out, and we can talk about a bunch of other stuff that that I'm sure we didn't discuss this week. So anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up for Tim and Larry. This is John, and thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. Sorry again for our brief hiatus. Hopefully we will not have that happen again anytime soon. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next week. Until then, bye-bye.
Catch you later.
Yep. Goodbye.